Meditation 17 from Devotions Upon Emergent Occasions by John Donne. Nunc lento sonitu dicunt morieris. Now this bell tolling softly for another says to me, thou must die. Perchance he for whom this bell tolls may be so ill as that he knows not it tolls for him. And perchance I may think myself so much better than I am, as that they who are about me and see my state may have caused it to toll for me, and I know not that. The Church is Catholic, universal. So are all her actions. All that she does belongs to all. When she baptizes a child, that action concerns me. For that child is thereby connected to that head which is my head too, and engrafted into the body whereof I am a member. And when she buries a man, that action concerns me. All mankind is of one author and is one volume. When one man dies, one chapter is not torn out of the book, but translated into a better language. And every chapter must be so translated. God employs several translators. Some pieces are translated by age, some by sickness, some by war, some by justice. But God's hand is in every translation, and His hand shall bind up all our scattered leaves again for that library where every book shall lie open to one another. As therefore the bell that rings a sermon calls not upon the preacher only, but upon the congregation to come, so this bell calls us all, but how much more me, who am brought so near the door by this sickness. There was a contention as far as a suit, in which piety and dignity, religion and estimation were mingled. Which of the religious orders should ring to prayers first in the morning? And it was determined that they should ring first that rose earliest. If we understand aright the dignity of this bell that tolls for our evening prayer, we would be glad to make it ours by rising early in that application, that it might be ours as well as his whose indeed it is. The bell doth toll for him that thinks it doth. And though it intermit again, yet from that minute that that occasion wrought upon him, he is united to God. Who casts not up his eye to the sun when it rises? But who takes off his eye from a comet when that breaks out? Who bends not his ear to any bell which upon any occasion rings? But who can remove it from that bell which is passing a piece of himself out of this world? No man is an island, entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Neither can we call this a begging of misery or a borrowing of misery, as though we are not miserable enough of ourselves, but must fetch in more from the next house, in taking upon us the misery of our neighbors. Truly, it were an excusable covetousness if we did. For affliction is a treasure, and scarce any man hath enough of it. No man hath affliction enough that is not matured and ripened by it, and made fit for God by that affliction. If a man carry treasure in bullion, or in a wedge of gold, and if none coined into current monies, his treasure will not defray him as he travels. Tribulation is treasure in the nature of it, but it is not current money in the use of it, except we get nearer and nearer our home, heaven, by it. Another man may be sick too, and sick to death, and this affliction may lie in his bowels as gold in a mine, and be of no use to him. But this bell that tells me of his afflictions digs out and applies that gold to me, if by this consideration of another's dangers I take mine own into contemplation, and so secure myself by making my recourse to my God, who is our only security. Well, I'm afraid I was a little bit mischievous in class today towards the end. I'm not sure exactly what triggered it. I knew when I went into class today that there was a particular phrase, or I guess clause, in Meditation 17 I wanted to work at a little bit with the class. I wasn't sure exactly how. Today was a presentation by one of the students, and I certainly didn't want to corral the presentation. On the other hand, I didn't want the class to go all the way to the end without getting to this. So though I can't remember exactly how it happened, suddenly there seemed to be a fairly natural opening, and the conversation was turning in that direction, so I seized the main chance, and I did something that teachers are not supposed to do, which is to ask the students to guess the answer. But actually, I wasn't trying to get them to guess the answer. The more I thought about it on the way home, thinking about Konrad Golgowski's blog of proximal development and thinking about all the things I try to do to elicit that light bulb moment, which is both a selfish desire on my part, I love to see it happen, and also, I hope and think, genuinely altruistic, because it is a head rush, after all, and I know that it's always pleasant for students when they have the light bulb moment. So I guess it's good for everybody. Anyway, I really wanted that to happen, and I thought that maybe I would be able to, I don't know, tease them into it. Doesn't always work. But thinking about the idea of the zone of proximal development that Vygotsky came up with and Konrad blogs about, it seems to me that what I did was to urge them to be their own coaches. And I had to be very patient because it wasn't quite as direct as I thought it might be, which is interesting. I was trying to get them to go to an image that was something like the image of Elizabeth Drury in the first anniversary being both in the choir and the song the choir was singing. Or to put it another way, to be both the dancer and the dance. To be both a part of the joys and the joys themselves. At any rate, I really wanted them to try to find that moment in the meditation because it's so striking and so much of a piece with everything else that John Donne comes up with. But I didn't want to just show it to them. But I also wanted to make my fishing productive. So finally, I just went a little bit mental on them, as the British would say, and began urging them to, you know, work as hard as they could in that first bit of the meditation to try to find this thing. What was interesting is that they kept focusing on more abstract moments. What they couldn't find was the symbol. They couldn't find the, well, not exactly, or if they did find the symbol, it was one of metonymy or synecdoche. It wasn't one in which this paradoxical subject-object thing was happening. It was fascinating to me. You know, very smart students, very bright, very articulate, and they weren't able to function at the level of specificity that would release the greatest amount of symbolic power. There was a way in which they couldn't get to the symbol that was also the most potent abstraction in that part of the meditation, but they would keep landing on one side or the other, either something specific that didn't really connect and they were guessing about, or something very abstract that was true enough as far as it went, but missed all the power of the specific symbolic particularity. So they started getting warmer. They could sort of tell where it was, probably by some of my body language, which is another reason why being there in person has its place. And then suddenly, one of the students got it. She just got it. And when she got it, I could tell that the light bulb had gone on. It was an all at once. It made her a little breathless. At least I think it did. And it was great. It was just great to see. I just love that. It's so addictive when that light bulb goes on. It's just, what could be better than to be there when that happens? It really is like kind of a birth in a way. And the bit that I was going for is the bit about the library, where every book shall lie open to one another. Now, what we remember from Meditation 17 is the for whom the bell tolls and no man is an island, and that's great. That's wonderful. For me, though, the most powerful image is that paradoxical image of the library where each book, where every book shall lie open to one another. And the image and the paradox, as the student saw when the light bulb went on, is that the books are reading each other. They are both perfect expression and perfect reading of each other. That there is the integrity of the individual utterance, and yet a kind of perfected, transparency isn't the word I want, a perfected availability, a perfected openness, so that all of the particularity can be perfectly and productively shared. It's an extraordinary image, especially because Donne is a writer. He's read a lot of books. He's writing now. The idea that we will have been translated into a better language and be in a library with all of our fellow human beings, all of us volumes, lying open one to another, is a tremendously charged idea for any writer and any reader. It reminds me of my Milton professor, who once said, you know, sometimes I want to go into a library and just suck everything in the library right into my head right then. Did you ever get that feeling? He would ask me. Well, at the time I was in graduate school and I felt as if the library were sucking me into its head. But now I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. And now I believe I understand what he meant. There is a way in which the library, like a choir or like a community, both preserves everything precious and individual and allows those precious individuals to be more than the sum of their parts. So it was a great moment, and the proximal development connection is that I was trying very hard not only to coach them through the zone of their own proximal development, but to coach them into being coaches for their own zone of proximal development. And I don't know if that's really what happened or not, but I do know the light bulb went on, and it was great. And so I'll try that again sometime. Have to do it a little bit differently, of course, but that's the adventure. How many ways can you think up to tease, coach, elicit, sometimes urge, and always invite that moment?